time for the Ron and Brian podcast. Get ready to fill your ears with the latest news, politics, current events, and whatever else we feel like talking about this week. And now, your hosts, Ron and Brian.
All right. Good afternoon, everybody. It is time for episode 193 of the Ron and Brian podcast, the special early Sunday afternoon edition, here with my best friend, Brian. Brian, how the hell are you this Super Bowl Sunday, sir?
Jazzed. This is the day that I look forward to all year. For those that are familiar with who I am personally, you understand. The month of July is when things start to heat up in my life, not because of the weather, but because the NFL season is just starting. This is the granddaddy of them all. August is a month where I'm a buzz. I literally, my skin is tingling every day as preseason starts.
Sure, let's go with that.
Almost called it spring training. So the first weekend of September, I cannot shut up about the new NFL season. Who are the rookies? What's the defensive line? Is that person a safety? What's a safety? I cannot stop talking about pro football as the season starts. Who's got a bye this week? Looking at my fantasy football team, scoring points, winning, losing, forgetting to enter my fantasy football entries, losing money to you on a regular basis throughout the year, but then doing well at different. The point is this, is that all those experiences, all those moments, the emotions, the feelings, the joys, the cries, the tears, the ups, the downs,
this time's gotta stop.
They all lead to one thing, and that is the Super Bowl. Two teams enter a field. One team walks away with the trophy. The season is done. They are number one. We've got the Los Angeles Rams taking on the Cincinnati Bengals. The quarterbacks, Stafford and yep. Burrows.
Yes,
you and got them both. I couldn't tell you another player on the Rams. I believe Odell Beckham is on that, but it could be somebody else.
No, you're correct.
On Cincinnati, I cannot name a player. My point being is this, people, is that the Super Bowl's today. I will watch an entire football game today, and I can't wait for the halftime show. Personally, listen, the year that I got into football was the year Maroon 5 did the halftime show, and I'll tell you, it made me question my own sexuality. this year, Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg, Eminem, Mary J. Blige, Eric Clapton. I mean, it's got a little bit of everything for everyone. Ron, how are you doing today?
I'm doing all right, except for this snow. I don't know, were we expecting snow? I didn't see that in the forecast, but it is continuing to snow here at the official Ron and Brian compound.
I had a friend of the show reach out to me yesterday to point out that it was going to snow, and I had no idea. I was like, "What? It just snowed last weekend. What are you talking about?" And apparently, but it's all right. Are you getting it bad out by you? Do we need to break out the Doppler 6900 or no?
Not yet. It should end hopefully by the time we look to go out to watch the game later. So we shall see.
Where are you going? Are you going out to the bar?
We're going to the Jardies to
watching the game at the Jardies. Very nice. Very nice. Yeah. Try not to get COVID.
I'm going to do my best. I also made a delightful buffalo cauliflower dip to bring.
Mm. Now, did you sous vide that? Was that in the instant fryer?
You just kind of steam the cauliflower so you can break it up, and then you mix it up with some sour cream, some cream cheese, some cheddar cheese, some hot sauce, and then you're good to go. Just have to make the fresh tortilla chips, and we're all set.
Salivating at the thought of it.
All right. Well,
please do me a favor. Yeah. Send my regards to the Jardies, and please stay masked at all times.
Will do. In the meantime, let's see what we're drinking this week.
Drink of the week.
Na zdrowie.
Salud.
Drink of the week.
Sláinte.
Drink of the week. Drink of the week.
All right, Brian, what are you drinking this week?
Well, as we are recording early, I decided that it was inappropriate for me to hit the hard stuff so early on in the day. It was inappropriate of me to start drinking beers. It's only 1 p.m. Game doesn't start for another 5.5 hours. Ergo, as you can see from the camera angle, I'm drinking a cup of coffee with some Bailey's Irish Cream in
it. All right. At least there's a little. If you're going straight coffee, I was going to be a little disappointed in you.
Does this look like straight coffee? You know me. I like my coffee like I like my women. Except here for today, I'm putting a little Irish cream in.
All right. Well, it looks tasty. How is it? Give it a sip. Let me know.
I do enjoy my coffee. I'm on that La Colombe, whatever their medium brew is. There's a fancy name for it. Modesto, Molello.
I've got a few mediums, so I like their Fishtown medium roast, personally.
Fishtown? You like fish in your coffee? That's disgusting, Ron.
Part of Philly, my friend. It's how we roll here.
All right. Ron, what are you drinking?
So I decided to have a beer, going low alcohol to start, but I am representing our good friends at Minocqua Brewing Company again. I don't think I brought this one on before. This is their Biden beer. They refer to it as an inoffensive and not bitter Kolsch style ale. It is 5% alcohol by volume. Again, a percentage of all their profits go to their own super PAC, which they refer to as Dark Money Meant for Good. And it's got a nice body to it for a Kolsch. I like the color, the golden.
Ooh, hue. That is a pretty color. I do like that.
Let's go, Brandon.
It's definitely mild.
Brandon beer. Why are you drinking Brandon beer?
I wouldn't call it overly flavorful.
Are you tasting inflation?
I'm tasting student loans not being canceled. That's definitely in there.
Are you tasting an inability to put through any type of agenda through the legislature?
I'm tasting disappointing 2022 midterms.
Are you tasting lack of leadership on the global stage such that Russia feels that they can invade neighboring countries without repercussions?
I am getting that. I'm also getting I'm getting a taste of strong disdain for Peter Ducey.
Are you tasting any strong disdain for Lester Holt?
A little bit. I'm getting a little bit of disdain for reporters from both sides of the aisle.
Are you feeling like you're suffering from any signs of dementia right now?
I'm not tasting dementia in there, but I am tasting the fact that I've forgotten who my vice president is.
Do we have a vice president?
So anyway, I'm not quite sure. So it's a more complex beer the more I drink it. So
yes,
I do recommend it. Good question, Billy. Am I tasting any infrastructure? I'm tasting the promise of infrastructure, but I'm not tasting any actual projects just yet.
Wow.
Ew. Anyway.
You know what's great is that I think given the opportunity, we would vote for Biden again if we had the same option that we did a year and a half ago.
Exactly. It wasn't a great option, just the better of the lesser of two evils, I think we described it as. Well, in the meantime, let's get to Beef of the Week.
Ron and Brian's Beef of the Week.
All right, Brian, what has bothered you this week?
The fact that we're recording a podcast at 1 p.m. on a Sunday.
Really? Why is that?
I feel like it ruined my morning.
Okay.
Because I was constantly thinking, okay, I got to be ready. And I can't drink hard like I normally do during the podcast.
Sure.
Normally, I know right after the podcast, I go right to bed, may masturbate or not. But usually it's like, I know that it's like podcast and then sleep.
Right.
I can't go hard during this podcast alcohol wise. I've got to behave because I know that there's like a whole, several hours left.
Right.
And it really is just, breaking up the flow of my day.
So would you have preferred us to have canceled the podcast or do it on another night this week?
No. One piece, but I could still bitch about it, even though it was the logical decision and probably our best option. I still have the ability. I mean, you once complained about not getting your spices. So if you're going to cast shame on my beef of the week this week, then valid. I believe that you need to hold yourself to that same standard and to see whether your beef. Okay, here, let's throw this one back at you.
Sure.
What's
sure.
your beef of the week, Ron? What is the thing that has upset you the most?
My beef this week, Brian, genocide. No, I just threw that out there. I just threw that out there to make you look petty for a moment.
That's good.
My beef this week actually is with Google, specifically with my Gmail. I've got this thing going on where a few days back I went on my MacBook and I went to go to my Gmail and it was like, hey, we want to make sure this is you. We're detecting malware on your computer. I'm like, on an Apple? Doesn't happen, my friend. Does not happen. But regardless, I went through their little recovery process, set a new password, and then, you know, did a malware search on my Mac. No malware on there. Went to log on another Mac, the one that I use for this broadcast, and it says, hey, we're detecting malware on this computer. So I've literally, like, every time I've had to get into my Gmail, I've now reset my password like 5 times in the last 3 days. Because every time I go on a new device, it's like, oh, there's malware on this device. And, of course, reaching out to Google support does absolutely not.
No, doesn't exist.
It's just driving.
Doesn't exist. What was the last password that you ended up with? Just wondering.
I always do some variants of Brian's titanium taint. I may throw, you know, a one in there instead of an I, you know, I'm clever like that. Somewhere along those lines.
Okay. So you're not actually going to tell me what your password was.
No, I'm not. I will off camera.
I'm going to put the clipboard away.
I like how you had the clipboard handy and ready to go for a prop. That was impressive.
Absolutely. Well, it's a clipboard literally of Life of Agony set lists.
Oh, okay. So Brian, you had questions for me this week. You had questions, you had things that are puzzling you, and you were hoping that maybe I could shine a light on some of them.
All right. There's a couple things going on in the world. Also, sure. Keep in mind, I also have a Ron Answers the Internet at the ready.
All right.
We haven't done it in a couple weeks. I did pull 5 questions that I would love to hear your answer on. But there's a couple stories that were going on in the world. I know that how do I say this in a way that comes across as a compliment to you without putting myself down? My therapist has said to me, I need to stop putting myself underneath other people.
Understood.
You have a better grasp of stories. I tend to take a New York Post approach to the news where I'll read the headline. I'll get a couple paragraphs. I'll get a glimpse of what's going on. And then I move on to the next story. You are a New York Times. You delve into paragraph 25 and 26. That's where the meat and potatoes are. Can you please explain to me what is going on in Canada with a trucker convoy that seems to be somewhat COVID related, but I don't understand why they are driving from Canada trying to get into America? What crime are they committed? Because I saw yesterday people were getting arrested.
Okay.
I don't understand what's going on. And a lot of it was because I saw a video on TikTok yesterday of former child actor Ricky Schroeder sitting by a fire, an outdoor fire pit, talking about how these convoys are now, you know, awakening in every country across the globe. And people are waking up to the, you know, the terror that's been happening to the world and opening.
So, well, first thing, if I can clarify, Ricky Schroeder was not actually near an outdoor fire pit. He was actually next to like one of those burning hobo fires because he's blown through all that NYPD blue money. He has not been working a number of years, so he is actually living down by the train tracks. So
at least
first point of clarity.
At least he wasn't yelling at a Costco employee.
Very true. Very true. So what has been going on up in Canada is you have this group of truckers that are against the vaccine mandates that Canada has had in place because there are now truckers that are losing their jobs because they do not have the vaccine. So these truckers initially drove to the nation's capital in Canada the previous week to protest these vaccine mandates. What they have done since then is they have blockaded a bridge that was linking Ontario and Michigan. They have not been allowing supplies to cross. So I believe they stopped upwards of $700,000 in goods from crossing between the U.S. and Canada. Ford Motor Company and GM both had to shut down production at plants on both sides of the border. There were shortages in some Canadian stores. And so what you're seeing with some of these arrests is that there was a judge's order on Friday that... stated that the truckers needed to leave or be arrested. So the police in Windsor, Ontario, have started to enforce that to clear that bridge. And then there was also a state of emergency declared by Ontario Premier Doug Ford. So because, you know, again, it basically has been a protest against these vaccine mandates. They have been blockading the bridge. They have been stopping supplies. And so both government and the courts have made it so that the police can now either move these people along, or if they don't move, they will be arrested.
Got it. I am surprised, and I don't have an understanding clearly. I just learned a lot. I hope everybody else did. I did not realize that Canada had vaccine mandates. I don't know what those mandates are, but I'm surprised that a trucker, somebody who just drives a truck by them, like alone in the little cab, is that what that thing is called?
I believe so, yes.
That they have to get a vaccine. I understand if you're working in proximity to other people, I understand that. Certainly in the healthcare industry, I would imagine that's mandatory. But I'm surprised truckers are required to get a vaccine.
You know, and again, I don't know if it's specific to truckers or if it's the fact that private companies are allowed right. to do this. Yeah, that I don't, that question I can't answer for you. I only know so much.
Got it. Well, you know everything, Rod. What I also see is that surprisingly, despite the, it seems like the vaccine mandates have done very well in the courts. I know that Biden's has gotten... I know Biden tried to do anybody with less than with more than 100 employees needed to do a vaccine. I know that got trashed, but it seems that individual smaller municipalities like states or cities have had a very easy time in the courts with vaccine mandates.
Well, what seems to be working in the courts, yeah, and for the federal government, is the issue seemed to be the separation of, you know, federal rights versus state rights. But yes, to your point. Both, you know, states, municipalities, cities, and private businesses, their mandates have been standing up in court because there are a number of precedents that have allowed, you know, these mandates to stay in force.
Sure. I
mean, you know, we as a country, we've had to take various vaccines from youth to go to school, right. to work, to travel, everything else. So I think the issue with the Biden mandate was more, it was considered an overreach
by
the federal government.
Yeah, I mean, I think what it boils down to is who is the entity that has authority in terms of putting forth that that order? And I guess in this case, the federal government cannot just make that decision for everyone. Which I agree with. I really do agree with it. I think that if the federal government doesn't have the ability to do it, then they should not just be able to say, hey, this is what we want.
Correct.
I certainly don't want an administration whose views I don't agree with to be able to force their shit on me in the same way that I don't want an administration that I do agree with to force shit out to people that don't agree with it.
Right.
I believe
if you set the precedent for the federal government being able to ignore states' rights, it sets a very dangerous precedent. So while we may support
absolutely
particular topic. Yes, you don't want to set the precedent for an administration that we wouldn't be in favor of.
Correct.
What else do you have questions on, Brian?
Dave Chappelle was in the news this week, not for his comedy specials, not for any politically incorrect things he may have said, but apparently there was an issue with him at a local in Ohio. I know he lives in Ohio.
Right.
There was a local town hall meeting or whatnot with the city councils where a land development deal was being reviewed. And he basically stood up and said, I do not agree with this. And if you put this forth, I will shut down my businesses that I have in this area. And the New York Post, clearly where I get my news,
right,
was making a huge deal that he was against this because there was low income housing as part of this development plan, that Dave Chappelle shuts down low income housing in Ohio. And that was it felt like they were creating outrage for a couple days and it just didn't really seem to get any traction.
So I think with this particular story, it's more a case of what, you know, the details that weren't provided versus the details that were. So, yes. So the village of Yellow Springs, Ohio, is where Dave Chappelle lives. There was a plan that came about for a residential development that included 64 single family homes, 24 townhomes, 52 duplexes, with a certain number of it being affordable housing. And there were a number of residents that came to speak against this plan for various reasons, you know, traffic, water management, things of that nature. And yes, and Dave Chappelle, you know, he's got a restaurant, he's got a comedy club. And he speaks at this town hall and says, you know, I would pull all of that if you push this development plan through. Now, this development plan was revised. It was initially supposed to include 143 single family homes. It was then revised to have this affordable housing. But I think what the Post and a lot of other news agencies hasn't pushed is the fact that he is against any residential development in that village. So it's not the fact he said that he would, if the original plan comes up for a vote with this 143 single family homes, he would be against that as well. He just doesn't feel that the residential development in general, regardless of whether it includes affordable housing or not, is not a good plan for the space that is being considered.
Okay. So he wants it to stay a mostly rural area.
You know, and that may be part of it, or he may, again, he may have concerns with traffic, water management, things of that nature. But yeah, the takeaway is he wasn't against it due to the affordable housing. He is against the entire project, regardless of whether it's just straight residential or if there's affordable housing in there as well.
Got it. So fuck the Post. They're trying to manufacture news.
Exactly.
Do we want to play Ron Answers the Internet, or do you want to save that for the last portion of the show?
Listen, I know
there's a lot of other important things going on in the world.
But is there anything more important than what I think?
Not to me.
Exactly. So let's do Ron Answers the Internet.
We don't have a bumper. We should get some kind of music. Now, Barstool Sports, friends of the podcast. They have a recurring bit where they bring on B or C level celebrities. They're not getting A-listers. B, C level celebrities where they ask them challenging questions, somewhat embarrassing or whatnot. They call it Barstool Answers the Internet. But more importantly, the world wants to know, how would Ron answer those same very questions?
All right.
So what I've done is put together a list of about five different questions, and we are going to find out what happens when Ron answers the Internet. Ron, right, are you ready?
I'm ready to answer. I am ready. Let's go.
Question number one. You have to pick one food for your best friend to chew up and spit in your mouth for you to swallow.
Ooh.
What food are you choosing?
Wow. So I have to do this. Like, this is not an option.
You have to do this.
I would go chicken wing.
Chicken wing. Now, are you going to go a flat or the drumstick?
Drumstick. I hate flats.
Really?
Yeah, I'm a drumstick man.
Last couple of years, I prefer the flat. I like working and getting that middle, the meat off, as well as I feel like the drumstick has that little tendon piece that just sticks
It can be a little, that part can be a little disturbing. I agree with you.
Yeah, I don't like that piece. It ruins the aesthetic of the drum to me.
Understood.
Ron, yes. What would be the most embarrassing way for you to die during the course of your average day? So this isn't I'm on a spaceship that blows up. No, that's fantastical.
Right.
One day you will go to space. But sure. We're talking about your average day now. What would be the most embarrassing way for Ron to die?
I would think if my sous vide machine were to short circuit and electrocute me and kill me.
I like that one.
Yeah, that would be embarrassing. It would be a very bougie way to die. Don't get me wrong, but it would also be kind of embarrassing.
I feel like at the same time, it might strike up like an international a drive for people to become better educated about how to properly use their sous vide machines.
Maybe some good would come from it, but in the moment I would be embarrassed.
Do you believe that there would be a convoy of truckers in Pakistan holding up borders because they want to make sure that people safely use their sous vide machines?
I mean, very possible. Very possible.
I believe it would happen. All right. Next question.
All right.
If you could erase one memory from your mind so that you could relive it for the first time again, what would it be?
I mean, I'm gonna get a little sappy here. My wedding to my current wife.
Really?
Yeah. That was a very nice night. So I would go with that.
I'm a little upset that I wasn't there.
Well, you know, if you hadn't fallen off the grid.
I know. It's always put it back on me, you know. Never take any blame yourself. All right, I got three more.
All right.
If you could have footage of one memorable moment of your life so that you could rewatch it, what would that video be?
I will say the day that you and I reunited in Albany when you got off the train and ran into each other's arms.
I was going to say when we did the 60-minute orgasm, the one-hour orgasm, and then the FCC showed up like an hour later.
That was a good one. That was a good one.
That it was a total coincidence. I would love that. That or the final radio show that you did.
That would be a good one, too.
Just to rewatch the – because I think we did like 2 hours that day.
Yeah.
It was embarrassing. What is the worst text that you can receive?
We need to talk. Regardless of who it's from. Work, wife, significant other. Yeah.
Could not agree with you more. The most anxiety-inducing text is, hey, later tonight, can we have a conversation?
Yeah.
Something along –
do you have time to talk? Like that. Just gives you like chills down your spine.
That will ruin the I will not be able to rest. I've picked up the phone right then and there and been like, what is it right now? Like we're not talking about this later.
Speaking of which, Brian, do you have some time maybe tomorrow afternoon for us to connect?
Of course. Put it on, send me a calendar invite. last but not least, what is the first song you want played at your funeral?
What is the first song I want played at my funeral? That is an excellent question. I'm not quite sure. I have many, many songs that I like.
If you had to pick one of them.
If I had to pick one of them. That's a stumper. I'd go. I mean, it's one of my all-time favorite songs, Desperado by the Eagles, but off of the Eagles live CD.
Would you be okay if I sang along to it?
I would expect nothing less, my friend.
I feel like we walk in the room. I don't know why, but I visualize you having an open casket.
If possible.
Yeah. Susan sitting in the front row of the funeral chapel, crying.
Right, of course, as she should.
People milling around. Jardy's coughing off to the side.
Of course.
unmasked, not washing their hands, just coughing. Right. And suddenly the first notes of Desperado kicks in as I walk through the open double doors, and I just start crooning as I walk forward, slowly approaching the casket at the front. Susan, so stunned by my beautiful voice that the tears stop as she realizes that she is witnessing a moment of beauty. I make it to the casket and I slowly lower my hands onto yours, which are crossed across your chest as I sing to you as tears slowly run down my face.
Well, now that's how I want it. And of course, I still have a full head of dark hair.
Oh my gosh. Because the thing is, after you die, your hair continues to grow. Right. So it's actually going to be even fuller.
But even if I'm like 80, I'm still going to have this luscious head of dark hair that has not dyed. And it will aggravate you. You will be aggravated staring down at me in the coffin saying, this man is dead and his hair is still better than mine. But I love him so much that I'm going to give him this tribute.
Next time I am at your house, I am going to excuse myself at some point. I am going to sneak into your room. I will sneak into your bedroom. I will find your hairbrush. I'm going to pull out several hairs,
all right,
bring it to a lab so that we can find out where in the DNA of Ron this magical head of hair with what, you know, diode or biode or what do they call that? The pieces of the DNA?
The helix, I don't know.
No, helix is two things, but there's a term for like the little different areas of it. What are the areas that have prevented him from catching COVID, despite me having tested positive at three different times? And then, also what do you have that has given you this luscious head of hair that, that I have the opposite of? I still have hair, but it's so gray at this point,
right,
so that we can go back and I can get my brown hair again.
Well, listen, Brian, you may not have a luscious head of hair, but you do have one thing that I do not have. And that is, ladies and gentlemen, Brian is now the owner of a brand new NFT. Brian has purchased an NFT.
Yes.
Friend of the podcast, guest who was on a couple weeks back, Alan Robert from Life of Agony and his Monster Chompers NFT. Brian, are we ready to reveal your NFT?
The big reveal. I bought it earlier this week. I was going to share it on social media, but I said no. I want people to see it. I want people to be aware of it. I want to help promote because that will increase the value of my NFT. But I said, no, I'm going to wait because here, Ron and Brian podcast, this is the moment where we should have the big reveal of my first venture into the crypto markets.
Sure, we'll go with that. Are we ready to reveal it, Brian?
Let us reveal my NFT, my Monster Chomper number 134.
For Ron and Brian, world premiere.
And there it is up on the screen. If you are listening just on the audio, well, you'll just have to trust us that this is a work of art.
Brian, if you're listening to this now, go to our social media. As soon as this episode has aired, we will be promoting it on all of our social media platforms. What you are looking at right now, Ron, is my Monster Chomper. Other people may be able to take a screen capture. Other people may be able to save this photo onto their phone. But there is only one person that is allowed to claim ownership of this photo, and one person can sell it on the marketplace within the NFT world, and that person is me.
And I was going to say, I literally have a copy of this now because you sent me a PNG.
Correct.
Of this. So I feel like I own this as well, but you own the NFT. You own the rights to it.
You own a copy of my NFT. I own the NFT.
Got it.
The thing is, a lot of people are looking at this and saying, okay, Now, what makes this NFT different than any of the other Monster Chompers? Now, the one that, and keep in mind, I did not know a lot of this when we had Alan on the show when he was promoting it, but I fully understand the Monster Chomper franchise now.
Okay.
The idea here is that there are aspects to each NFT that, while from a distance, meaning not literally from a distance, but they may all look very similar, each one is going to be statistically different from one of the features of this NFT. So the idea is that each one of these Monster Chompers has a creature that is eating something.
Okay.
What that creature looks like, what color that creature is, what is the item that is being eaten, how is that item being delivered to the mouth, those are all randomly generated within the NFT database as it's being minted and created. So if you look on the website OpenSea.io, I don't know where IO is. Is that Iowa?
I'm not quite sure.
It's not a domain. Anywho, but if you look up under the properties of this NFT, it will show you 9 different areas. And I believe there may be more, but there are 9 different areas where you can see what the difference of characteristics within this NFT compared to others. You can see that of the eyes. So here's an area where each eye is different. I've got surprised eyes, of which only 2% of the 10,000 are going to have surprised eyes. The color of the head is ghoul pink, only 2%. Now, the tongue on my NFT is purple. 31% of all of the Monster Chompers are going to have a purple tongue. So that is not necessarily something that is considered a rarity. However, you can see that on the menu delivery, you can see that silver chopsticks, only 0.75% of all Monster Chompers are going to have. Also, I've got a torpedo nose red, 0.75. Now, the website raritysniper.com is a website that ranks all NFTs within each different group. I am waiting for that to be uploaded to see where my Monster Chomper ranks as compared to all the others.
So quick question, because again, I didn't quite comprehend this, but one, how much did this cost? And two, how do you exactly purchase this since you don't use cash to purchase these?
This is what you do. You open up an account with MetaMask, which is considered an NFT wallet. And with it, so that's an app on your phone that you can download. You can, it's a website that you can have on your computer. You then fund it with US dollars. You use that to then convert those dollars into Ethereum, which is a cryptocurrency like a Bitcoin. And then the price of the NFT is tied to Ethereum, so that whatever the value of Ethereum is, it will cost 0.05 Ethereum to purchase this NFT.
Okay. So really, your investment can go up in two ways. The value of the Monster Chomper could go up.
Yes.
And also, if Ethereum increases in value, yes, even if the Monster Chomper doesn't become more valuable, just the fact that it's worth 0.05 Ethereum means it could be worth more as well. So you've got two ways for this investment to increase in value.
Yes.
All right. I think I'm kind of understanding this NFT game a little bit more.
So the idea is that if the price of Ethereum drops, that might be a good time to buy Monster Chomper, because relatively the price of it will be cheaper than when the price of Ethereum goes back up. So for instance, when I first funded the account, the price of Ethereum was on the rise. I waited for the price to dip, as, let's be brutally honest, from a cryptocurrency market, it's very volatile. You know, every day you see swings of it's up 6%, it's down 5%. You know, this is not necessarily money that you want to, you're not going to put your rent money into Bitcoin. However, if this is money that you are comfortable with some wild swings, go for it. So I waited till I saw a dip and I said, all right, now I'm jumping in. I'm going to purchase my NFT. purchased it, and then the price of Ethereum has gone even further down.
Do you think it's because you've invested in it that it went down?
I do have a track record of purchasing stocks or financial vehicles and then watching their price plummet. There was a Labor Smart stock, which I purchased in the range of 1 cent all the way up to 6 cents, that is now worth 0.3 cents. Major bath. I bought Disney stock that quickly tanked by about 25%. Recently, I bought Moderna, which has gone down over 50%. God damn it, Billy. Just fucking A. Yeah, just put it up. Get it over with, Ron. You know you want to. Just put the comment up.
Billy's comment. Billy is asking how much Ethereum is needed to fund a night at the strip club. Well, hold on. Let's do the math real quick here. I want to make sure we're providing good information.
So I believe Ethereum, the last I looked, it was about 2,000, 2,200 maybe.
All right. So now we have – so Ethereum is worth – hold on. 2,000, where'd it go? $2,684.
I've got 28.54 right now.
28.54? All right.
I got 28.54 right now. Ooh, it was at 28.94 about, hold on, here, just to give you an example of it. When we started this show, we started at 1 o'clock today.
Okay, yes.
So at 1 o'clock today, Ethereum was about $2,900.
Okay.
It's now $2,854.
So that would mean that you would need 0.315 Ethereum to fund a Brian evening at the strip club.
Woo!
Well, now we know. Now we know the answer. So I'm happy that William Esquire asked the question. Let's see.
What it's a valid question. I'm going to go get more coffee, Ron. Introduce the next bit.
So we haven't done this week in racism in a while, but we did have some stories that hit this week that we did want to include in the show. The first one, this is coming to us from Tennessee. Always shocking when Tennessee shows up in an issue of race and religion, but a mother of a Tennessee middle schooler accused her daughter's Bible teacher of teaching students how to torture a Jew. Juniper Russo, who is Jewish, wrote in a Facebook post that she withdrew her eighth grade daughter from the Bible class after the teacher wrote an English translation of the Hebrew name for God on the whiteboard, which is traditionally not spoken out loud by Jews. And the teacher allegedly told the class, if you want to know how to torture a Jew, make them say this out loud. Kind of insensitive, don't you think?
Okay. I don't understand these teachers that go into a line of work, which is about preparing the next generation to be good people, and yet you are walking in there to teach racism. I don't understand it. And right. I'm not saying that all teachers need to walk in there with a LGBTQ plus agenda, but it's, why would you say, hey, if you ever want to torture a Jew, this is what you do to them?
Well, again, this combined with the fact that a neighboring school district is the one that recently banned the graphic novel Mouse from its district, would certainly make you understand why that's a little you feel a little bad about that, a little antsy.
Why do I feel like I read Mouse as a kid?
You might have,
not like a kid, but like a teenager. I remember reading the graphic novel.
It was a thing to do.
I remember trying on several different occasions to get into comic books.
Continuing along this line, so Jonathan,
I love the way you just sidestepped that and just kept moving on. No, power through it, Ron. Power through it. Do not let me distract you.
So Jonathan Allen, a defensive tackle for the Washington Commanders, was doing an Ask Me Anything on his Twitter account last week when someone asked the question regarding which three guests he'd invite for dinner. He said, my granddad, Michael Jackson, and Hitler. And why Hitler? Well, he's a military genius, and I love military tactics. But honestly, I would want to pick his brain as to why he did what he did. He tweeted, I'm also assuming that people I've chosen have to answer my questions honestly. So he has since deleted all tweets referencing Hitler and apologized. I guess my question, Brian.
I'm listening.
Is in the... Hearing his explanation, does that make it... Do you feel people were overreacting? Or do you feel the outrage that was directed towards him was justified?
I feel that we have reached a point as a society where we have accepted the overall narrative that Hitler was one of the most terrible people to ever walk the earth, so that it is absolutely impossible to say something nice about him.
And again, I don't even know that he was necessarily saying something nice about him, except from a military
point. But that's something nice about him. What I'm saying is the fact that Hitler has such a bad reputation for the genocide of the Jews, the Gypsies, and Russia. He killed so many people that you cannot look at him from any other perspective. You're not allowed to say something nice about him. Like, right. You're not allowed to be like, oh, he had great hair. Like, yeah, no, everything about him was absolutely terrible, but the man had great hair. You are automatically going to rile up people who are going to try to cancel you.
All right. Agreed. I mean, I'm not saying right or wrong, but you would think, again, with the way that people react whenever Holocaust, Hitler, things of that nature are brought up, you think it would just go without reason that maybe that wouldn't be part of your answer.
But one would hope so.
You would think. A black delivery driver says two white men pursued him as he was doing his job in a Mississippi neighborhood late last month, and that one of the men fired several shots at his van. DeMontario Gibson was delivering packages for FedEx in Brookhaven, a small city about 55 miles south of Jackson, Mississippi, back in the evening on January 24th. When following a drop-off, he noticed a white pickup truck was driving towards him, honking his horn. After driving past a few more houses, Gibson said he saw an armed man in the road pointing a gun at him, mouthing stop. He shook his head no. He swerved around the man, and the guy started to shoot fire into his vehicle. The next day, he filed a police report. There was at least two bullet holes in the van he had been in, and that three packages inside the vehicle had bullet holes in them. So,
wow.
Reported to the police. I don't believe that they have located the white man in question yet, though. Oh,
damn.
I am incorrect. Sorry. Brandon Case, who allegedly pointed the gun, has since been charged with feloniously attempting to cause bodily injury with a firearm. And Gregory Case, who was allegedly driving the pickup, was charged with unlawfully and feloniously conspiring with his son to commit aggravated assault.
Wow, that sounds serious.
Both men were booked and then bonded out the same day. So
Dano.
This will go to court. Ridiculous. What else do we have this week, Brian?
Do we have... well, hold on. Let me look, because I know that I had put together some things. Oh, do we have celebrity obituaries? I believe we lost one of the greatest Americans that ever walked the planet.
We lost a baseball player. I don't know if you would consider that the greatest, but Jeremy.
Come on. Did you not watch Moneyball?
Jeremy Giambi, former major league outfielder and brother of Jason Giambi, dead by suicide at the age of 47. So a very sad story there.
Not really. I never met the guy. He doesn't even know I exist. So what the fuck do I care if he died or not? Ron, what are you watching?
So I am watching. I watched the first couple episodes of Reacher on Amazon Prime. Not bad. A little over the top, but I would recommend it.
Now, is that the Jack Reacher TV show now? So that's the character Tom Cruise played in a movie, right?
It is, and it's kind of interesting because the guy who plays the role on the TV show is like 6'4", 6'5", and as we know, Tom Cruise is more like 5'8". So it's a completely different visual take on the character.
Would you describe this as a deep fake?
I would not. No, I would not describe it that way.
What else are you watching? Oh, did you watch The Book of Boba Fett?
I have two more episodes to catch up on in The Book of Boba Fett, but it is very good so far.
I imagine let's put a pin in that. Right. I would like you to watch the next two, the last two episodes, because I have some very strong opinions about The Book of Boba Fett. And I would like to use it as my beef of the week one, but we have to be able to talk about it.
All right. And I am also five episodes in to Inventing Anna on Netflix, which is a mini series about Anna Delvey, who is a woman who basically she's a convicted fraudster. She pretended to be a wealthy German heiress, tried to defraud banks, hotels, other famous people. But it's one of these things. It's not a documentary, but it is a drama series based off of actual events. The woman who plays Ruth on Ozark plays Anna Delvey.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. Amazing actress. So it is. I like it so far. I think some of the episodes. You know who else is in it? The woman that was in My Girl years ago, Anna Chlumsky. Plays the
My Girl,
yeah, with what's his name, Macaulay Culkin, Dies of the Bee Stings,
the little girl,
yeah, she's she plays
have two bee stings also.
She plays the magazine reporter. So yeah, I would recommend Inventing Anna. Brian, what are you watching?
I watched this is odd, I watched World War Z. Ooh. For the first time yesterday. I had never seen it before.
Yeah, it was
so
good.
I watched it. Good, but I felt like there was a major gap. Spoiler alert on a movie that came out 7 years ago. I just felt like they didn't really justify very well the jump in logic he made that the zombies would not go after you if they thought you were sick.
Right.
Like it wasn't
a great movie. Yeah.
But I thought it was interesting. And if it reminded me of The Mandalorian, how like he kept going from one location to another and each one was like, oh, we'd love to help you, but you really need to go over there. And then he moved with it. Cause I felt like that was the story of The Mandalorian. Then out of nowhere, he's just like, oh, hold on a second. I saw a couple people that were not, the zombies weren't interested in them. Oh yeah. Maybe you have to make yourself sick. And I was just like, where's that fucking logic coming from? I also watched Aziz Ansari has a new comedy special on Netflix. Not particularly long. Felt like it was in like the 40-minute range or whatnot. Recorded in December of 2021 at the Comedy Cellar here in New York City. Basically, the gist of it is that instead of recording it in a theater or arena in front of a crowd of his fans, what he did was he just showed up unannounced, wasn't on the bill, to a room of comedy fans, and basically did his material. It was odd, first off, because December of 2021, Omicron is raging. So the idea that someone's going to be like, oh yeah, let's go to a comedy club underground in sores just seems inherently dangerous. Especially here in New York City, which was the epicenter of Omicron here in New York, refrigerated trucks filled with bodies, mobile morgues, forklifts, antibodies. Anywho, what I actually felt was most interesting about this was this is he's always played like this character, I guess, of this little manic pixie boy, you know, where, you know, he's just like too cute and lovable to be like, you know, treated as an adult, or like this, or he plays like, you know, this character who's just always more childish than his actual age. You know, this arrested development of adulthood. Anywho, but here in this episode, I feel like this is like the mature Aziz Ansari talking about everything that's wrong about society and how he's struggling, but how he's doing it better than everyone else. And I was just like, it felt like too much of an extreme to go from one of, you know, hey, look at me, I'm awesome and I'm juvenile and, you know, I'm all about my phone and hanging out with Kanye. And then suddenly he's just like, you know what we're doing wrong. We don't care about each other. You know, there's a homeless man right across here. No one's going to give him a dollar. Like, and it was just, I felt like I was being lectured to by somebody who has gone out of their way to shirk responsibility. So I didn't find it very funny. I mean, there were some well-crafted jokes, but right. It just felt out of style with his brand. And that was what I've watched. I also started to rewatch Better Call Saul.
Oh, yes.
Because I know that season 4, the last season, is going to be coming out soon. So I decided to go back into Better Call Saul, knock out the first 3 seasons so I can watch 6. I can watch 4 when it comes out.
I need to catch up on Better Call Saul. I think I only watched, whatchamacallit, season 1. So I need to.
I think I did 1 and 2 and dropped off season 3. So I want to catch up. But you know who's not going to be watching Better Call Saul?
Who's that?
Lisa Schaefer.
Is it time? Is it time for Dead Anti-Vaxxer of the Week?
Dead Anti-Vaxxer of the Week.
So, Brian, let's talk about Lisa Schaefer, who, as you said, is your Dead Anti-Vaxxer of the Week.
Listen, I'm going to keep it short because I know time is of the essence. Lisa Schaefer from Marshall, Texas. She was a registered nurse working in the healthcare industry, 48 years old, was extremely strong anti-vaxxer, posted often on social media about her views about the COVID vaccine, how she felt the mandates were wrong, how freedom was dying. Even went so far back on November 30th of 2021, not that long ago, to post a screen captures of a 7-page request for religious exemption from her registered nurse job that she had worked over 20 years at to avoid having to be required. Unfortunately, we are now seeing posts from her family members asking us to pray for her soul as she lost her battle with COVID last weekend. Many hearts were broken, except for Lisa's, as she has passed away. Lisa Schaefer, dead at the age of 48. We wish you were still here with us.
All right. Well, Brian, that is an admirable Dead Anti-Vaxxer of the Week. But if I may bring to the table a gentleman by the name of Paul Obel, he was the founder and CEO of the Faith Unveiled Network. He hosted his own TV show called Truth Unveiled, which he really liked to get a lot of conspiracy theories out there. He was an extreme anti-vaxxer. He used his network to push anti-vaxxer and anti-hospital messages repeatedly over the last year. One of the lowlights being him hosting Dr. Brian Artis, who is a former chiropractor who pushes a lot of debunked anti-vax and anti-hospital treatment messages. Also, despite one of Paul's pastor friends dying of COVID, continued to rail against vaccines. Well, at the end of 2021, he, of course, came down with COVID, ended up being intubated on a ventilator with acute respiratory syndrome, failing kidney, liver, and lungs, managed to hang on for about a month and a half, but as of February 8th, dying of COVID. So again, play stupid games, win stupid prizes. Paul Obel passing away at the age of 63. He is our Dead Anti-Vaxxer of the Week.
Dead Anti-Vaxxer of the Week.
We mentioned it earlier, Ron. Today is Super Bowl Sunday. Who are you rooting for?
I am going with the Cincinnati Bengals. I like an underdog, and I like their chances today.
The line is 4 points, according to ESPN.com. Are you up for a friendly wager?
On top of the friendly wager we already have? Yes, I am.
What friendly wager do we have?
We on our prop bets, we put $40 on the overall prop bet.
I have an idea for a friendly wager for the Super Bowl.
All right.
Are you ready?
I'm open to it.
1% ownership of the podcast for the next year. You get the ability to overrule in any area you want for between now and the next Super Bowl.
So I would get Bengals plus 4.
Correct.
And for 1% ownership in the podcast.
We go to 51-49 for the next 12 months. Or the Rams cover by 4 and I become 51% owner of the podcast. And I get to overrule you in areas that we disagree on, which don't happen very often.
They don't, but they happen on occasion, yes.
Every now and then, you know, we do have issues where we somewhat disagree. I'm saying let's create a system between now and the next year where there is a clear person who gets to make that call.
Brian?
However, all Patreon funds are split evenly 50-50.
Consider that a bet, Brian. Consider that a bet, my friend.
All right. I'm writing it down. I am writing this down.
Let's see here. What else do we have? Oh, we have Marjorie Taylor Greene. Continuing to be one of the dumber people in Congress this past Wednesday, talking about, I believe, Nancy Pelosi, referring to her gazpacho police, which I think obviously she meant Gestapo, but basically just torn apart on Twitter and the internet with just soup and gazpacho references. Bigger question, Brian. Fan of gazpacho, yes or no?
I think so. I cannot say that I've had it any time recently.
Okay.
I mean, I probably have not had gazpacho in like 20 years.
Fair enough. I love a good
gazpacho. What is that? Is that cold tomato soup?
It's chilled tomato soup, yes.
Yeah, I think I would like that. How's that? So it's basically like tomato juice.
Almost. A little thicker, but yes.
Now, is that something you would cook in a sous vide machine?
You could, and then cool it. You definitely could, yes.
Do you need to start with a base of oil?
I would, you know, you're going to cook your tomatoes down, so maybe an avocado oil would be nice in there.
Interesting. Interesting. What else? Do we have anything?
You had asked for an update on Trolley, our foster dog.
I think that is a perfect way to roll out this podcast. Episode 193, about 2 weeks ago, we had everybody knows that Paisley is the official mascot of the Ron and Brian podcast. That is the dog that Ron has with his wife. 2 weeks ago, was it 2 weeks or last week?
Last week.
Just last week, competition in the Ron home for official mascot of the Ron and Brian podcast, as Ron and his wife decided to foster a second dog in their home, which is also known as, hey, we just adopted a dog, but we're not emotionally ready to call it that. So Trolley has now been in your home for over a week. How's it going?
I mean, she's settled in. She's a good sleeper. She goes in her crate at night. She sleeps all night. She is still having some medical issues. We did need to go back to the vet yesterday. She's got ear infections that she is dealing with, and she also has a stomach issue that she's dealing with. So
is she Jewish?
No, she apparently ate a suet sleeve when she was with her previous owners.
What's a suet sleeve?
I guess a sleeve that goes over suet, like bird feed or whatever.
I don't know what suet is.
So we have.
Now, is that something you would suet feed?
you might. So we are trying to determine if that's still left in her stomach or not. So we are waiting for some test results from the vet. And she may need to have a procedure done if there is something stuck in her stomach, although her appetite has come back. So she is sleeping comfortably on our couch as we speak. So a sweet dog, and we look forward to helping her find her forever home, which will not be this home. Period. End of story. Which I know you do. I would also be willing to wager on that as well.
I would not wager, because that's something that's something that you have 100% complete control of. And I know that you're a petty bitch, and I know that you would sit there and say to your wife that there is no way that you can keep this dog because you promised me that you are going to give it up to a forever home. I could see you doing that.
All right. Anything else, or should we go get ready for After Dark? Which
we have to go get ready for After Dark. We have got a lot of exciting things for our Patreon subscribers only. People, every week we do a free 1 hour podcast. We're already at 55 minutes. This will be free. This is for the entire world. There are people in third world countries who can't afford to pay for this show. We don't want their money. We are saying to them, you living in a dirt town in a cave in Tora Tora, you can get the free podcast, Ron and Brian, always. However, for those people who want more Ron and Brian, for those people who want the salacious stories, who want the triple X or double X, let's be real, content, we save that. We put that behind the paywall that is on our Patreon. Go to our website, ronandbrianpodcast.com. Click the link in the upper right-hand corner. There are several different levels you can come in at. The more money you are willing to spend per month to help offset the costs that Ron and I incur on throughout the year to keep this podcast going, such as the 75 cents every time you see below, become a Patreon subscriber. 75 cents out of our collective wallets. You get more access to the show, as well as the ability to get some free swag, sweatshirts, tote bags, coffee mugs.
Mugs, yes.
Face masks.
Sweatshirts.
Yeah. What do you call these things? Coasters, stickers, refrigerator magnets. I'll come over to your house and blow you. It is a matter of how much you are willing to help out the show. Join our Patreon, help support the show, help support the world.
All right. Well, Brian, the bet is on. I wish you the best of luck.
I do not wish you any luck. I want this game to be a blowout. I want to rub it in your face for the rest of the year. 51-49, Brian over Ron.
All right, we will find out hours from now, but minutes from now, we will be having After Dark, so we will see our Patreon subscribers there. Like we said, if you want to join us, hop on Patreon and subscribe at the Bronze Lover to Hire. We can get to the link right away. Brian, anything else before we roll out this afternoon?
Love you. Love everybody watching this. Thank you for joining. Just be good to each other.
All right. Thank you, everybody. We love you. Thank you for joining us. We will see you next Sunday, regular time next week, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Thank you for joining us on the Ron and Brian podcast. We're live each week on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch. You can find prior episodes, links to our social media, and everything else Ron and Brian at ronandbrianpodcast.com. See you again next week.